You're listening to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show, broadcast through the facilities of Trent Radio on 92.7 CFFF-FM in Peterborough, Canada.
Hey, kids.
I'm Batman.
Look, up in the sky. It's a bird.
It's a plane.
It's dance-off, bro. Me and you.
Hello, and welcome to Hey Kids Comics. I'm your host, Dan Collins.
Hey there, this is Martin Bruda.
Chris Gill.
Hi, I'm Sam Tweedle. I could talk about Archie forever.
The biggest bane to my existence right now is Shield number 9.
They know that I would have put it under my shirt and ran off.
What are you talking about? I haven't seen any Action Comics number 1.
Gwenpool, I mean Spider-Gwen, the whole heat and stuff, this is going to be worth a few bucks. And nobody wanted it.
Yes, Dan, the Killing Joke does need to be R-rated.
I kind of like punching the walls of reality as a way to bring a character back because nobody knows what we're talking about right now.
Dark Knight Strikes Back was one of the biggest piles of dung ever, and it was what, $10 an issue?
We need to shame Sam. He is not here because he's gone to the Gem and the Holograms movie.
Hello and welcome to Hey Kids Comics. I'm Dan Collins.
Chris Gilpin.
Hi, I'm Sam Tweedle, and I'm back after a very long time not being on the show.
And it's Martin Bruda. There's four of us in the studio today.
There is. I wasn't supposed to be here, but I decided that I wanted to hang out with my friends instead of doing the thing I was supposed to do tonight.
So, of course, we're doing our best to piss them off.
Yeah. Yeah.
Also known as a regular Friday night.
Yeah, exactly.
That's right.
Sam really wants to talk about Riverdale.
No, yeah. I don't want to talk about Riverdale.
He's
two...
got it on his PBR.
No, I've been saying this all day, but... And especially on the Archie boards, but what Riverdale and the Trump inauguration have in common is two things I'm not watching. So it's something that, it starts, what, next week, and there's a lot of hype on the internet, and I'm not watching it.
I gotta be honest with you, I don't even know when it starts.
It's next week.
No clue.
But see, that makes me happy, because that means that it might end a very quick death, and we could just go back to regular Archie. Where, you know, Archie isn't having sex with Miss Grundy. There was a trailer last week that came out which actually showed a lesbian kiss between Betty and Veronica. So apparently that's a thing on this show. So that's the kind of weird, twisted Archie America that we're going into.
And what channel, network is
it? Oh,
on?
Of course, it's the CW.
CW,
okay. Of course, because, right. Yes. So
yes.
Why are we talking about Riverdale already? It's just something. You know what? Where Riverdale is? Riverdale is in that bizarre universe where there was like three Star Wars movies that showed the early days of Darth Vader, which doesn't exist.
Those are fan-made films. They're not canon.
Is that what those were? Okay, yeah. See? That's where Riverdale
Some kid made those in his basement. They don't count.
That's what I hear. So how's everybody doing? I mean, you know what? This is the first time I've been in the studio since November, and I feel really, I'm excited to be back talking about comics and hanging out with my friends.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's why it's I'm good. Here tonight.
All right.
It's good.
Yeah.
So what comic are we talking about first?
Well, I brought
what about something in the pile Sam was leaning on?
Well, yes. Okay, so...
Bending the spines.
Let's give a little bit of a story here. I actually had a lot of comics backed up at Comic Book Addiction. And in December, I finally was able to go and buy like 4 months worth of books. And it was fantastic. And in the last couple of weeks, I've really been putting a lot of time into trying to finish the stack. And as of today, I am 100% caught up on all my books, which I'm not actually because I didn't go to CBA on Wednesday. But what I did is I went through some of the books from last month that I particularly enjoyed, and I thought I'd bring them in and tell you guys. We don't need to talk about all of these, but these are some of the new books I got. But
what else are we going to talk about on a comic book show?
Well,
you have a stack of comics. Let's talk about it.
Okay, so the first one I want to talk about is one of the surprise hits of IDW is their Gem in the Hologram series. When they first put this book out, it was supposed to be a miniseries, but it's so well written and well drawn that it's amassed a huge cult following. Well, they just had their first spinoff book, their sequel, which is Gem in the Holograms, The Misfits. And when I first heard about this book coming out, I thought to myself, oh, you know, we'll see what it is, but... You may remember in the Gem and the Holograms theme where they would say, "Where the Misfits, our songs are better."
I got the theme song in my head
right
now.
Well, "Where the Misfits, our book is better." Because it was the first issue. I think the second issue came out yesterday, but the first issue was such a surprise because it actually showed an origin story of the Misfits, how they met each other, how they originally got together. And it's really been an incredible journey because they're actually giving these characters personalities and motives and, like, you know... who is Pizzazz? Is she really some crazy psycho that burns down sets and every cliffhanger has something about to fall on Jem? Yet, you know, who is she really? But we really discover a little bit about who she is and why she's so crazy and unstable. You know, give her a heart and give her a soul. And I was just shocked how much I really enjoyed the first issue of The Misfits, because it had depth, and that's not something I was expecting from... I don't think anybody's been expecting depth from the Jem comic series in general, but that's what's really made this book well. So The Misfits, I just absolutely love it. I know I'm the only one in the studio who actually read it, right?
Yeah, I didn't follow the cartoon. That's not my age group at all. So when you're talking about Misfits, I have no idea who they are or anything.
Well, The Misfits is Jem and the Holograms' arch nemesis. Yes.
Team Rocket.
Right. Rhea.
There you go, see?
And talking about arch nemesis and soul, I brought in Reggie and Me, number two. When they first announced Reggie and Me, the covers on Reggie and Me are terrible.
I recall you being very, very negative about it.
I was.
You were not happy.
I wasn't planning on buying it. Surprisingly enough, Reggie and Me has become the standout book in the Archie universe. What's happened is it was originally supposed to be a regular, but sales were so poor for the pre-sales that they've turned it into a miniseries. But again, it's very much like The Misfits. It's like, okay, what makes Reggie tick? Is he just a douchebag? Or Dan, are we allowed to say douchebag?
You already did twice.
Okay, cool. Is he just a douchebag, or is there a reason that he is the way he is? Who is Reggie? What's the soul of Reggie? And again, it's just been absolutely it's a gem of a series where we really try to, you know, there's a lot of pathos, and you really feel sorry for this guy. Another thing that's interesting is they've actually given Midge a defining character for the first time ever in comics. Midge is a major character in the series, and it's really about Reggie's what's the word I'm looking for? You guys are good with words, Marty. Words.
Caring.
Hmm.
Reggie's in love with Midge.
Okay.
Undying love for Midge.
Undying, yeah.
Undying love for Midge. Right.
Unrequited.
Unrequited.
Yeah. Look, there you go. Right. There you go. Right. We're all helping together.
Don't ask the guy from Poland how to say English words.
See, now when you talk about these, both those books,
they're very similar.
It reminds me of, oddly enough, Stephen King's Mr. Mercedes.
In what sense?
In that you can watch a movie about a serial killer,
mm-hmm.
but reading Mr. Mercedes, you get in the head of the serial killer. Mm-hmm. And it was just crazy. But that's what this kind of reminds me of, the way you're talking about it.
They're so good. These two books are just so fantastic. And two books, like Reggie and Me, I almost didn't even buy it. The only reason I bought it is I saw the first issue and I thought, I'm going to give it a try. I like it more than any of the Archie books that came out last year. You know, and the fact that it's not a full-time series, just it's really disappointing.
But see, that just goes to show you how much a good writer who puts depth into the characters and actually gives a who, what a difference it can make.
Oh, yeah.
You got definitely a property that didn't look particularly appealing. The art wasn't exactly, you know, outstanding. And here this guy or lady, I'm not sure who wrote it.
I don't even know. Who
knocks it out of the park, and you're a convert.
Oh, my God.
You're like the first guy who condemned the whole new Archie direction stuff, and here you are saying this book is fantastic. So that's great.
I'm just trying to see who wrote this. It's Tom DeVito. Tom DeFalco.
Well, there you go.
Right? Like, we all know Tom DeFalco. And the art inside is by Sandy Jarrell, and it's actually really good compared to the just dreadful covers. The covers are horrible in everything I've seen. Look at this great picture of Moose, and he's like the original Incredible Hulk, okay?
Right.
Yeah, I know.
Hold up the microphone so the radio listeners can see it.
Anyways, I have more books, but you know what? I don't want to keep going on.
Why not?
Well, maybe we'll talk about them later, or maybe we won't. I want you guys to talk. Oh, I do want to talk about this. This is cool. One of the surprising books I really have been enjoying is New Superman. Yeah. Because when first time I heard about they were doing the Chinese Superman, I thought, this is stupid. I don't even want to read this. This is so stupid. I continuously love, like, every issue of it knocks it out of the park. It's such a fun book, but what I thought was amazing in the latest issue, New Superman, number 7, although I think one came in on Wednesday.
Yeah.
Last month's New Superman, they brought back an obscure character from the Silver Age proper into the new DC Universe, which is the incredible I Ching, who was from the new Wonder Woman series back in the late 60s when she was doing the spy thing. She was trained by this blind martial artist named I Ching. And now they've brought back him for the first time in ever. And now he is training the new Superman in martial arts.
Wasn't his name Stick, blind martial artist?
No.
Who trains people?
That was in Daredevil. But it was, actually, it doesn't I Ching predate Stick?
Yes, he does.
Yes, he does. Yes, he does. So I was really, I was so excited about that because I actually really like those old Wonder Woman books where she was doing the spy thing. I think they're so fun. And
yeah, I think New Superman's hitting it out of the park.
Oh my God, it's so good.
Like it's just a really fresh, original take on the characters. And they're really, I mean, he's only Superman in name, right? He's got his own complete different history. He's got his own different, you know, origin and he's fighting with the Chinese Batman
and Wonder Woman.
And the Chinese Wonder Woman, and they have the name Batman and Wonder Woman, mm-hmm. but they're not the same characters at all. Mm-hmm. Different motivations, different everything. And again, good writing fleshes out the characters, and it's a top-notch book. I think it's great.
One thing I like about New Superman is that he's actually kind of a horrible guy. He's a giant douchebag.
He's a bully, and he's a.
And actually, I think it's five now.
Okay.
Sorry. And but
five what?
Times we said douchebag.
Six.
But the thing is he has heart. You know what I mean? Like as much as you kind of want to hate him, you kind of love him too because he's not a total bad guy. Just he's
learning.
He's young.
And he's learning.
And he's awful. Yeah. But yeah, New Superman is just been an absolute joy. I've really loved it.
So. Unfortunately, as good as it is, that's probably why they're bumping it up to $3.99.
Well, I mean, we can get into that if you want.
Yeah, we'll get into that later. But yeah, maybe that's one of the reasons why they picked it.
Well, what it is as everybody knows, DC Comics is jacking up the price on some comics to $3.99 from $2.99. And they're just doing the superhero books that don't come out twice a month.
Yeah.
So all the other books that are not twice a month are jumping up to $3.99. Now, you get a digital code with the book, so you can download it on Comixology or whatever, which is something that Marvel took away from their books last month. Right. So I think that's, you know, on purpose. But, see, somebody said that. Somebody said, DC's just doing this because Marvel did. I feel like that's not an initiative you just fire up in a week.
No,
I think there's
not.
Some stuff in the background. Like, this was an announcement for books that have been solicited. These books are coming out. They're probably even already at the printer.
Yeah.
So I think this was coming out all the time. They just, you know, modified the press release a little bit to emphasize the fact that, you know, hey, look, we're doing what Marvel didn't do. But a lot of people are saying that the only reason why the twice a month books aren't getting jacked up in price is because there's still that perception that people are like, well, I don't want to pay double for Batman every month.
Yeah.
Even though they're not understanding that they're getting double the content. You're getting two sets of covers, two sets of content pages every month. So you're not paying double for your Batman title. You're getting double the amount of Batman. You know, you're getting 24 issues a year instead of 12. So I personally love the comics that are coming out every two weeks.
I think for the every 2 weeks, the only one I'm reading is Green Arrow.
Yeah.
But, I mean, every issue's solid.
Well, you were reading Action and Superman for a while.
I was reading them digitally.
Oh, okay.
But I do have orders in now to start buying them in trades because I've missed so much of the story now and I want to keep getting them.
Yeah.
So.
But I would be very surprised if by this time next year all the books are not $3.99. Mm-hmm. I'd be very surprised if they don't.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, everybody else's comics are $3.99 a month, you know, and Marvel's losing on volume shipped, but winning on dollar share because their books are a buck more. So, you know, and each retailer will tell you that they make more money on a $3.99 comic than they do selling $2.99 comics, right? So a lot of retailers are saying they want the price to go up too so that they can get better margins on their comics. Now, what's interesting is that just recently they announced that the digital versions of the $3.99 comics that you can get on Comixology and stuff are only $2.99.
Yeah. Isn't that way different, huh?
So that's got retailers furious. They're like, wait a sec. So you're making the physical copy more expensive. So you're basically pushing these people out of our local shops onto their tablets, and they're downloading it directly on their tablets and paying a dollar less. Like, that kind of defeats the purpose of putting the digital code in the book, enticing them to come in, buy the physical copy, support the local comic shop, and still have the convenience of a digital collection, because it's a buck more. So who's actually going to do that besides Kevin?
Well, yeah. All right,
but, right. Like, who see it, who reads comics straight digitally, though? None of us.
None of us, none of but, us, yeah. Like, when Marvel made their announcement and some mm-hmm. of the Facebook pages exploded, and we have a Facebook friend named Kevin, and he does exactly this. He buys the books physically so that he supports the local comic shop, jams in the codes, and then he can read them on his tablet anywhere, anytime. Hotels, he does a lot of traveling, so it's really convenient to carry 100 comic books in your iPad than it is 100 comic books physically.
Yeah.
So he's pointing out that maybe in our little circle, we're still old school physical copies because we like to have the collectability of it.
Yeah.
But there's a whole slew of people that do exactly that. Right? They're old school comic book readers. They want to support the local comic shop, but they want the digital convenience. So there's a lot of people. I didn't think so. I was like you, Dan. I thought, you know, nobody does this.
But those, like, I feel like those people would still just pay the extra dollar if it was a title, because they want the book too.
It depends, because, like myself, some of the titles going up to $3.99, my comic budget is what it is. And if a comic book goes up in price, I have to make adjustments. You know, some people are like, well, it's only a buck extra. It's only a buck extra. Well, for me, if all my titles go up to $3.99, that's $35 a month extra.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you divide $35 divided by $3.99, that's 9 or 8 comics.
I did the math for me the other day, and it's going up about $7.
Yeah. So, and I mean, for now, if you're good with seven,
if Green Arrow goes up, it'll be like $9.
Yeah.
And that's not so bad, but I see your point. Like, what if it all goes up? I totally get it.
Like, that $7 is 2 comics that you could have tried out or given a chance sure. to.
And I thought about it. Like, am I going to cancel a book? Like, I got one book on the bubble. One book. But, you know, I decided just to say, I guess it's a couple of less coffees a week.
Now, the other thing that this is going to do for me is I took a chance on New Superman. And I mm-hmm. took a chance on Red Hood and the Outlaws. And I took a chance on some of the other DC books because they were $2.99. And they were less expensive, and it seemed like less of a hit to just try it out and see what we're talking about here. Now, if they're all $3.99, I'm going to be more likely to give a shot to a different book, Marvel right. book or an Image book. So for me personally, in my personal situation, this is a lose for DC. I'm going to be buying fewer books from them and spending the same amount of money. Now, maybe that works from an expensing point of view. Maybe it's less expensive for them to produce a $3.99 comic book versus a $2.99 comic book and the return on the investment. So maybe it still makes sense to them. But for me, it means fewer books from DC. Like, there's just no way around it.
Yeah. Now, what about if the two, like, because we all knew $2.99 wouldn't last.
Oh, sure.
Like, there's no way. Because they've flirted with this every 2 years, you know, dropping the books and they go back up. But, like, Image, their graphic novels, the volume one is always significantly cheaper than the next volumes because they want you to be like, $10, I'll pick that up. You like it. And then the next one's, you know, $17.50. So, you know, maybe they should have all of their books be $2.99 for the first 10 issues and then go up to hook you, because you are going to keep some of those books, I'm sure.
Yeah, mm-hmm. for sure. Sure. Like, you know, sure. Like in the trade paperback example, you've just read the first 4 to 6 issues, so you're hooked or not hooked on the entire series.
Yeah.
It's kind of hard to get hooked on a single issue. So, yeah, that would work as far as, like, I don't know, because we're not the business people behind the scenes. Maybe they've been, like, when they went to the hold the line at $2.99, they cut the page rates and cut the number of pages. So instead of 22 pages in a comic, they're 20 pages a comic. So right away, an artist who's getting whatever the page rate is, let's say $150 a page, right away they're getting $300 less a month from that particular issue because they've dropped 2 pages.
You know what? One thing I've noticed, though, talking about pricing, one thing I noticed reading comics, and I don't know when this change happened, but do you remember when we were kids and we would read comics, there would be ads for candy and ads for video games and ads for
things
toys
for
and yeah. stuff like that. You read comics now, There's no ads for anything except the books they're putting out.
That's because advertisers don't find the value of putting an ad in a book that has a circulation of 35,000 when they can put a link on a Facebook page or a Google search link or something like this.
But I just noticed this. I mean, it's been such a subtle change in the comics. I don't know when ads stopped appearing in comics.
Yeah, if you crack open a DC comic book, chances are it's all house ads or it's ads for properties that are related to Warner Brothers.
Yeah.
So an ad for a Warner Brothers movie or an ad for a TV show or a video game or something like this. And it's simply because who wants to pay the advertising rates
to advertise? It's sort of sad in a way because the advertisements in comics are such a part of the appeal of old comics in itself. Like some of them are so iconic, like Charles Atlas or the Hostess Twinkies or... Who was the or think of some of those old toy ads from the
101 pieces of puzzles and stuff.
Oh, or remember how they'd have the ads that would have like all the little different boxes where you get the X-ray glasses, and then there was like the Bill Cosby says give blood because it's worth it.
But it's just it's just cheaper to run an eBay store or it's cheaper to sell those kind of novelties through Amazon or
I get it.
Or through AliExpress and. Kids aren't reading comic books too much. So if I put a Hostess fruit pie thing in here, the three diabetics in this room are going to be like, oh, geez, Louise, I need that. You know, it's just not the demographic anymore.
I do know they do have, they are doing in the DC books out, they do have, what's the hangry where you're like?
Snickers.
Snickers, because they are doing a Snickers ad with Wonder Woman where she's Doomsday.
Yeah.
But that's unique now. I mean, it's just... or wasn't there... Marvel was doing a shaving products one with Luke Cage for a while?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't know.
That was a tie-in for a main company that owns the other company. Like, if you drill down, how much you want to bet that Disney owns a percentage or a share in that Gillette company or whatever? You know, because you're dealing with these mega corporations. Hatton's Funhouse doesn't exist in Peterborough anymore. So why would somebody that has a place like Hatton's take out a full-page ad in a comic book that there's only 3,500 copies? If it's good comic, it could be as low as 3,000 copies, when they can just buy that stuff from AliExpress.
But you know, it's like this. But how did the Sea Monkeys get their start, right? Do you think that the guys that owned the Sea Monkeys company had any success without the Sea Monkeys ads?
Well, I'm positive.
How the heck was Grit sold? They couldn't get people to sell grit if it wasn't for the comics.
Could you even sell grit in Canada?
I don't know.
It seemed like a rural country newspaper from like Iowa or something like this.
I didn't even think grit was a real thing. And then one time I went and I found they were selling old grit issues on.
Or the greeting cards?
If you sold
enough greeting cards, you could get a BMX bike.
Yeah. Or seeds, American seeds. Yeah. And then there was like Captain O. Right? Remember that? I don't even know what they were selling.
Yeah.
We were selling Captain O products, and then if we sold 5,000, we could get like a microscope set.
When it comes to money, they measure things so tremendously now that like they're canceling TV shows three episodes in. Cheers bombed the first couple of years it was going, and then for the last whatever 11 years it was the number one hit. But for the first few years, if it came out now, it would have been canceled three episodes in.
Man, so, I hope that happens to Riverdale.
So I'm sure they've got metrics and advertising agencies and stuff.
Tell
somebody doesn't make sense. Nobody's buying.
Perhaps we wouldn't have the mass unemployment we have if people were just selling grit.
There you go.
Grit is an answer.
This is why you're a history major, not an economics major.
Do you ever want to sell grit?
No, grit.
How about you? Did you guys ever want to sell grit?
I wanted that.
I don't even know what you're talking about. So
I wanted to.
That's because you don't read comics, Dan.
In the older comic books, they used to have like these things where if you sold X number of this grit newspaper, you got like 20 cents a month or something like this. So you could go and turn around and buy comic books. And there was a greeting card company where you bought X number of greeting cards, sold them to your friends and family and relatives, and you get points that you could then redeem for.
A basketball.
But you have to sell, like, you know, this is like girl
guy. Speaking of selling stuff to get money for comic books, you could buy the next Walking Dead issue with that 20 cents. you got for selling grit. Yeah. Walking Dead 163 is going to have a 25-cent cover price.
That. That's very yes, because God knows they need to sell more copies of that.
Well, they've already have pre-orders of 750,000 copies, apparently.
What it's going to be is going to be all the Walking Dead fans are going to buy it and go, oh my God, Daryl Dixon isn't in this. What's up with this? This is junk.
Mm-hmm. Well, at least they're telling people that this is happening. They're not just overshipping 30% and just showing up at the door. Yeah. So the guys at Worlds Collide is sitting there going, yeah, just take some because it's just sitting here. Yeah. That's another rant.
There's a reason why they're doing it. Right, the 25th anniversary of Image.
Yeah, it's the 25th anniversary of Image.
A lot of the other books are 25 cents as well, like Invincible and.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's just a promotion, you know, thank the fans, get everybody back in there and stuff. So.
Yeah, a great jumping in point, too, for people.
Is that the beginning of a new arc?
Yes, it is. Okay. Did you not? Have you not read the end of the last arc?
Yeah,
the Whisper War.
Yeah, I did. It was very anticlimactic.
I was so incredibly disappointed.
Me too.
Oh my God!
So disappointed.
What happened? Did nobody
die? Nothing happened. Like literally, nothing happened in that issue.
And no answers. No answers to the big mysteries.
The only person who got buried was Lucille.
Yeah.
Oh, that was a bit of a touching page.
Yeah.
But with Lucille being buried and Lucille was his wife's name.
And one of the communities got utterly destroyed as well in the arc.
Completely.
Hilltop.
Was it Hilltop? Yeah,
Hilltop. So. Is destroyed.
Spoilers.
Oh, it was over
two
a month
or three
ago.
Months ago.
None of.
But like.
But I guess
some of us read it through trade.
Technically, it
but
was.
Not you.
Not anymore.
Technically,
no.
It was the last issue of the Whisper War.
Because they say so.
No,
the last dialogue is the war is over. We won, but they didn't win.
No, nobody really. Well, really won, but there's big trouble coming for sure.
Oh yeah, there's trouble coming.
But
there's trouble a brewing.
10 million grit copies coming towards one of those one of those communities. And
oh yeah, that's how they should actually get the economy going again in Walking Dead. Is everybody should sell grit.
That's right.
Like Carl with his one freaky eye should be out there hawking grit.
I think that Eugene is selling grit. If you say there's a panel where he like practically kills himself trying to get a bunch of ammo boxes to one of the places.
Yeah.
But grit is that important too.
That's right.
He's.
Now, did you guys see the new Wolverine trailer?
Yes.
Oh yeah.
No. Did you see there's a couple of them?
Yeah, I've seen all of them.
Like I saw one and it was very interesting, and then I couldn't find it again. And key parts were cut out. And then it was like, here's the Red Band trailer. Mm-hmm. And that wasn't the one I saw either.
Well, you know what's cool? Over the holidays, I bought all the trades for Old Man Logan and all the trades for All New Wolverine, which were books I was kind of reading at one point, but lost track with them, but I was really enjoying them. So I went and I bought all of them and I reread them. And I'm so into these two books right now at Marvel, Old Man Logan and All New Wolverine, which is, of course, is X-23's book.
Yeah, cause she's Wolverine now, technically.
Technically, yeah. And I'm reading, and then in the second trade paperback of All New Wolverine, it's actually a team up between Old Man Logan and Laura, right?
Laura, right.
And it's really good. And now Laura has like a little X-23 type character. And there's also a really cute issue where it's a team up between Laura and Squirrel Girl, which was a lot of fun. But reading these and then seeing that trailer, I got so excited, and I have not been this excited for a comic book movie since, I don't even know. You guys know I'm not a big comic book movie guy.
And you don't have to wait that long.
And I'm reading it. It's like, it's next month.
It's like March.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
And how incredible was Betty White as Professor X?
Yeah.
Like, that was just awesome. You know, she's eating cereal and I'm bleeping 90. Like, it's just hilarious.
Oh, my God.
I don't
God.
Know if you guys saw that trailer.
No, I didn't.
Where Patrick's cursing
band.
A bit.
Yeah.
Oh, it's hilarious.
Oh. Yeah. But I'm just, but when you finally saw the little girl and she had her two little, little closet, I was like, I don't know the origins of X-23 or Old Man Logan. I've never read the original stories. It's just the newer stuff.
Oh.
But these are characters that I have become so in love with. And I'd like to read the older stuff. I don't even know where to find it. But maybe it'll be released in trade once that movie comes out.
Well, I'm sure the Old Man Logan's out on the trade. The original Wolverine.
I don't think so.
Oh, I gotta get those.
Like basically, it's just a dystopian future.
I went online and read it.
Yeah.
about what happened, so yeah. I can understand the current series better. But and I love it. Like, and you know the other thing too is this is the first time ever in my collecting that I've ever collected anything Wolverine. I've never been a Wolverine fan. I've never bought Wolverine comics. I think the only series I ever collected was that Origin. But I've never been into Wolverine, and these are two books that I'm really enjoying. And then I see the trailer, and I'm just like, my God. And it doesn't look, it's going to have like only like, what, make four characters. And it's not going to have people beating the crap out of each other for panels and panels, not panels and panels, but scenes and scenes and scenes with entire cities falling on top of them. And that really.
And then throwing the person into another city.
Yeah.
And then destroying all the cities that that person loves.
Yeah. I don't see that happening. And that excites me. I did enjoy Doctor Strange, don't get me wrong, but I wasn't excited for it like I am this. Yeah.
It took me a couple times watching that trailer to remember or realize that the bad guys are the Reavers, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know who they are.
That's from the 80s.
Back when Marvel was good.
Who are they?
Ooh, I had to get that.
Chris, who are
bad
they?
Bad guys from the X-Men.
They are past members of the Hellfire Club that Wolverine chopped up. The Hellfire Club is what...
I know what the Hellfire Club is.
So these were the soldiers with the white masks.
Oh, okay.
These are old guys that Wolverine chopped up, and they're now like android, you know, arms and stuff like that.
Okay, cool.
And there's a few key characters of them.
It should be really good.
Yeah, I'm really.
Now, I don't want to crush you, Sam, but yeah, I do. You're reading Old Man Logan on trade.
Yeah.
So that means you're not up to date.
No.
Because there's this massive thread on Facebook about how the current arc in Old Man Logan is like horrible.
Oh, okay. Good to know.
I don't want
to. I'll be ready for that.
Just prepare.
When that moment happens, I'll stop buying the trades.
But then you can always just like muscle through it and hope that somebody else. It's like me with Nightwing. The first arc, horrible. Don't worry about it. The next arc will be better. Next arc, horrible. And I'm still like, this is Nightwing. I love Nightwing.
Yeah.
I know Nightwing is, you know, twice a month, $2.99. X-Men Blue and Gold are coming out. She can't. No, it's Nightwing. They'll be okay next time. So, I mean, I don't know. How long do you live through a bad arc? Hoping that a new arc is coming shortly.
It depends on how much you love the character.
Yeah, exactly.
What you're buying history with. I mean, I lived through the Chuck Dixon years of Birds of Prey.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of Birds of Prey, I finally read, like, I hadn't read any of it.
Mm-hmm.
So I sat down and read the whole thing in one sitting.
The Rebirth one.
The Rebirth one, yeah. And
I'm enjoying it.
I liked it.
It's okay.
But I was expecting more Killing Joke talk. Related stuff.
Like really, all it is they're chasing after this hacker.
Yeah.
The and then they finally find the hacker, and it's kind of a nobody. Like, it's not like they could have made it like, I don't know, the calculator or something something interesting. It's just a new character. Nobody.
I don't hate the new, I'm enjoying the new Birds of Prey, but if you'll notice, it's not in my stack of books.
No,
yeah. Right? Like, it's not. I'm not loving it.
Yeah.
Well, the only thing I really liked about the new Birds of Prey, it was in the cover, not the last issue, but the issue before that, they had Black Canary as a record collector on the cover. That made me feel really excited because they showed like the Birds of Prey in the front and then the background, what they do when they're not being superheroes. And there was Black Canary going through in a record store, going through stacks of albums. And I'm like, that makes me so happy. It's like we're soulmates. You know?
Oh my God, it's a two-dimensional character in a comic book.
It's Black Canary.
It's a comic book.
I love Black Canary. I like the fact that as of next month, I'm going to be able to buy Black Canary in 4 books a month.
There you go.
Like, how cool is that? Yet, how many books am I buying with Zatanna? None.
Who?
Yeah, I know. You know what? It's weird. So my 4 favorite characters is always been Black Canary, Zatanna, Stargirl, and Omen. Lilith Clay from the Titans. And Lilith Clay was, like, in limbo for, like, a decade. And now we have her back in a book. But Zatanna and Stargirl, like, nowhere. Like, they're just gone. What's up with that? I'm hoping that there's plans for those two characters.
I think there was a Justice Society something.
Well, that's the thing. When are we getting our Justice Society book? When are we getting our
Legion?
Our proper Earth 2 book. And they've got Saturn Girl from the Legion. They've kind of hinted that she's in a jail cell somewhere. Like, let's get into these stories. Like, some of the, like, Justice League, for example, is, in my opinion, a horrible comic. It's written horribly. I'm not sure who's writing it, King or whoever it is. It needs to stop. They just need to get him off the book and get somebody else on the book because It's just an excuse to get a whole bunch of characters into a fight scene. It's Batman versus Superman. It's that bad. And instead of touching on some of this cool stuff and getting into this, they're like, no, we're going to leave it for the Batman and the Flash comic. This is your team-up book. This is your Avengers. This is your tentpole. Like, make this book amazing, and people will like, okay, if you're not reading Wonder Woman, and Wonder Woman's kicking butt in Justice League, you'd be like, oh, maybe I should get the Wonder Woman book. If you're a Superman fan, you're buying Justice League because he's in that, and all of a sudden you see Batman doing something cool, and then you're like, oh, maybe I should get the Batman book. Like, it's the gateway.
Yeah.
You know, if you make your
team-up book,
team book good, you'll attract the people who like some members of the team, and they might like another member of the team. Like, Green Arrow, for me, started in Justice League. I didn't start reading Green Arrow until Justice League. And then it was like, well, what else has he been in? And then I found the old Green Lantern, Green Arrow books. Yeah. And that was like, oh my gosh, who's this Green Lantern guy? Well, this Green Lantern guy's cool, and he's in Justice League, and, you know, and it goes and it goes and it goes. Like, I would never have read a Red Tornado comic if it wasn't for Justice League of
America.
That's
a good point. Neither would I. And I've read Red Tornado comics.
You know? So yeah. You got to make your team-up book the number one book. It's just the rule. So get rid of this nonsensical stuff that's going in there. Start exploring some of this Watchmen stuff. Start exploring some of this Killing Joke stuff. Why can't they do that in that comic? Instead, it's just, oh, look, we got a disease and it's taking over the world, so we got to beat everybody up.
Now,
is it written by Brian Hitch? Is that?
I don't know. It could be.
Yeah, it could be.
Now, I don't know if you, I don't know if you guys noticed on the web, but this week is when all the solicitations for all the new books should have came out.
But they didn't.
But they didn't. Everything's late, right down the board.
Yeah.
Like everything from Dark Horse Damage to Archie to Dynamite, completely. But they slowly started to pieced together some stuff yesterday for DC, and did you guys see this? And I'm really excited about this 6-part miniseries. It's a crossover between DC and Dynamite. First time ever, Batman and the Shadow.
Who?
The Shadow.
Who?
Batman.
Who? Batman.
Okay.
And the Shadow.
Who?
Who knows what evil lurks in the hearts of men? Like, the Shadow knows.
Like, I'm almost half a century old, and I know who the Shadow is.
Right.
But does Dan know who the Shadow is?
Yes.
Okay. So my point is
it's pretty mute. It's an iconic character, and then.
But I don't think it is to the newer kids.
But I don't care about the newer kids.
It will be.
I care about me. And what I think is so cool about it is they say it's the first time it ever happened. I'm like, it can't be, because DC has had the Shadow property multiple times.
Those Mike Kaluta.
Yeah. And then, the Batman teamed up with, like, guys like Doc Savage and the Spirit. But then I went to, like, look, I did a Google search, and Batman and the Shadow has never actually teamed up. And that's so crazy to me, because it's a no-brainer. It's just... And I'm oddly excited. Like, Batman's teamed up for the Ninja Turtles, for crying out loud. How much sense does that make?
That's because Alec Baldwin has, like, a rider in his contract that he can't go up against Ben Affleck.
What?
Alec Baldwin, he played the Shadow in the last
Shadow
movie.
Oh, that was a bad movie.
Exactly. Yeah. This is what I mean. It's a character, like, it's so fringe. It's...
Oh, but man, it's going to be cool.
Like, is the Shadow book at Diamond selling anything?
Dynamite? Yeah, it actually does sell. I actually bought...
I've never seen it in the top 25.
I've bought some... It's one of their more popular franchises at Dynamite, because it's... You know how Dynamite will get a franchise and they'll run with it for a little while and then they drop it because it stops selling, like Lone Ranger or Zorro?
Yeah.
The Shadow is always... It's the one series that they can continually put out.
That's called Red Sonja.
Yeah.
Well, Red Sonja, they do that too. But the Shadows, like, they never stop publishing the Shadow. Why? They will for other properties. Yeah. And, like, Dynamite, it's an interesting company, because, like, they'll start a book, and it's a franchise I love, so I'll buy it, and the books start out strong, but they always peter out. Like, Shaft and Dark Shadows are probably the two that I've bought. I've bought Zorro, Lone Ranger, Shadow on and off. There's a new Nancy Drew Hardy Boys one coming out that I'm really excited about. I love the idea of the storyline. It's very out of the box. In the new Nancy Drew and Hardy Boys book, the Hardy Boys are actually up for murder of their father, Fenton Hardy. Mm. And they turn to Nancy Drew to actually try to solve who really killed their father. And the idea that they killed off Fenton Hardy, who's been a character from the original books. And I've been watching the old 70s TV series right now. it was like, wow, they're killing off Fenton Hardy, and it's almost like a Mendes Brothers type type thing. Yeah. Is what I'm getting in my head. Very, very different for the Hardy Boys and Nancy Drew,
but
I'm down with it.
They've killed him off before in
Fenton Hardy
in the books.
Fenton?
Yeah.
Really?
Not in the original books, but like in the 90s, they did new books.
Yeah.
And in the first one, they killed him off.
Yeah, but then he sold it to Disney and it wasn't canon anymore.
Right.
Because I remember reading that, because I read the Hardy Boys. I don't know if...
I remember...
Did you read the Hardy Boys?
I'm aware of them. I was more of a Three Investigators kid.
I've always been a huge Nancy Drew collector, but I remember in the 90s reading a Hardy Boys book where they killed off Joe's girlfriend.
I'm shocked by that, by the way.
What?
That you were a Nancy Drew collector.
Oh, I've always been... Nancy's all...
Yeah, I don't believe it at all.
No, I was a Nancy Drew fan since I was a little kid. That was always my favorite book series. And the reason why is this, and I can explain it, is because the Hardy Boys were all action, intrigue, science. Why Nancy Drew was always like ghosts and haunted mansions and dark passageways. It was more gothic mystery instead of crime fighting. And always kind of was more the appeal of the more gothic nature of
Nancy
Drew.
And she wore fishnets.
Nancy Drew never wore fishnets.
Only in your dreams.
Yeah. Actually, Ron Sutton drew a Nancy Drew cover for me one time, and he actually drew her as a burlesque dancer investigating a burlesque murder.
And you exploded.
Oh, well, it was a commission.
Ba-dum-bum.
It was fantastic. Anyway.
Do you guys know who the three investigators
were? I do know who the three investigators were.
At least somebody does.
Do you remember Danny Dunn?
Danny Dunn.
There was a lot of those kind of boy detective type stuff, eh? And who was the Encyclopedia Brown? Remember him?
I remember the name.
Yeah, I read that.
I read Gordon Corman books when I was a kid. What's wrong with Gordon Corman?
I don't know who that is.
What? How can you not know Gordon Corman?
No, I don't know.
Hey? Mm-hmm. Huh? It's a Canadian... Never mind. Anyway.
To fact check, the Shadow Dynamite comic ran for 26 issues.
Okay. But there's been multiple miniseries. They do them in six to 10 part series now.
It says there was two miniseries.
I've bought more than two miniseries, Dan.
Well, then you should go on to Wikipedia.
Obviously.
And you should correct that.
Wikipedia is lying to you. Not that happened before.
Although it says there's a new ongoing series.
Oh, okay.
That just started.
All right. Very cool. Anyway.
Encyclopedia Brown strikes back.
Who?
Anyway, so...
I'm still shocked you don't know who Gordon Corman is.
I'm sorry.
Who is Bugs Potter? You didn't read Who is Bugs Potter? See?
You read that?
Chris knows who is Bugs Potter.
Okay. I probably still have it somewhere.
McDonald Hall? Somewhere. What was the whole title for McDonald Hall?
When we were...
Beware of the Big Fish?
The one I remember reading as a kid was Dinky Hawker Shoots Smack.
No, didn't read that. I graduated from Gordon Corman straight to Mac Bolan and the Phoenix Force.
I was reading Ian Fleming by grade 7.
Oh yeah, Ian Fleming.
In our school library, they had all the James Bond books, but we weren't allowed to take them out until we were in grade 7. So the moment I was in grade 7, Nancy Drew was gone, and it was all Fleming.
Art Dixon used to save Conan books for me.
Oh, did he?
Because I had a big thing for the original Edgar Rice Burroughs Conan novels.
Cool.
So he'd always, like, I'd come in and he goes, somebody brought these in. Have you got these ones yet? And it's just like your albums there. What's Andy Williams albums.
The Andy Williams
albums. It's like you get to a certain point where you're missing three, and every single one he pulls out is not the one you're missing. Art, it's only three books. Remember, for Pete's sake,
I managed to pull out. I got five new Andy Williams albums over the Christmas break.
There you go.
Yeah, it was great.
Also, just back on The Shadow for a minute.
Yeah.
Scott Snyder is supposed to be writing that crossover with Batman.
There you go. That's going to be really good. Yeah,
I like
Scott Snyder. That's great.
That's
great.
Did you see the news that Paul Dini is going to be writing Harley Quinn?
I did, and I'm very excited about that. But I'm going to wait for the trade before I get it. But I do have something to show you guys.
But what is he doing? Is he like
It's a backup feature.
Oh, okay.
So I'm going to wait for, because you know they're going to put it out in a trade. But in the stack of books somewhere, and it's not.
No, you hid it because you didn't want me to see it.
Where was it?
You
put it in your coat.
And you've crushed it with your back.
No.
Yeah.
And you probably leaned on it.
This is a Christmas card I got from Paul Dini and Misty Lee.
There you go.
See? Do you guys want to take a look? You want to put it in your mouth?
Yeah.
How about that, eh? Isn't that nice? That the
Hi, Sam. The restraining order is still in effect.
Did they spell Sam correctly?
No.
No.
No. It's
regards,
nice.
Paul.
Yeah. Is it like Starbucks where they get your name wrong?
Mm-hmm. No. No. Actually.
Hi, Sam.
Okay. Look. Let me. The cover. It's by the guy who does the Jingle Bell comics, and he drew Paul and Misty and their dog and their sock monkeys and this little lion guy that is actually a stuffed thing that Paul has in his living room.
And it's eating the leg lamp
from
Christmas
from a
story.
Christmas story.
Nice.
Yeah, I was really happy. It came a little bit late after Christmas, but I'm still getting Christmas correspondence right now, which is weird. I got a Christmas card yesterday.
Don't get me started with Canada Post.
Okay, we won't.
No.
Yeah, but I was really happy to get that because I got to admit, it's been a while since I've been in touch with Paul and Misty, and I thought to myself, am I just saying I know them, or are we just acquaintances that now have been fallen out of touch? And then I got this, and it was like, oh,
well,
that's really, you know, it's
you
really
can
nice.
Make that at Staples, so we're still not sure.
You know what? I'm going to LA later this year when I get a little bit of time. I have the money. I just got to find the time, and I'm really hoping to hook back up with Paul and Misty, and I'll take photos, and then you'll know.
Yeah, Photoshop.
If it's not a Snapchat of her performing magic, we're not gonna believe it.
Oh, yeah. she's I've never seen her perform magic actually.
Did anybody read this Justice League Mighty Morphin Power Rangers?
Oh,
no,
neither did I. Okay,
Dan, did
curious.
You read it?
Of course not.
Okay.
The only thing I know about
why
Mighty,
did you even ask?
The only thing I know about Mighty Morphin Power Rangers is that was that obnoxious Japanese thing that like. One daughter watched.
But you know
I watched it all the time the first season.
But you know what though, the cult status of that is massive. It's never going to go away. I mean, the people who grew up with it love it. Like just like we love Star Wars or Thundercats or Transformers or whatever. Like
is Amy Jo Johnson still on that cop show that's filmed in Canada?
I don't know.
I don't think that show's still running. Is it Flashback?
Flashpoint.
I don't know. I never saw it.
It's been over for years.
Yeah.
Ooh,
Well, there you go.
But she was on it.
You know you're old when your nostalgia is no longer.
One time I met the guy who played the Blue Ranger, and I asked him if he'd do an interview with me, and he said he wouldn't do an interview with anybody unless it was okayed through his agent first because he doesn't want to talk to people just in case.
He was the guy with the glasses.
Yeah. I read a story about him not long ago, and I mean he had a really disturbing exit from that series.
Did he?
He was in that series for a long time, and he's gay, and apparently he left because of a lot of harassment and homophobia on the set, and he ended up going to one of those pray away the gay camps.
Oh yeah,
trying to be converted so he could keep his job on Power Rangers, and I guess it didn't work, and he just
after today we call those public schools.
Oh yeah, welcome to the land of Citizen Jack.
Yeah. Bam.
Yeah. Hey, do you guys want to hear about Luann?
Sure.
So I've really been loving Luann.
Now first, are you going to do 2 months worth? Or
No. Okay. I'm just going to do with the current story.
All right.
I haven't talked about Luann.
Which is
a
month and a half long.
That's right.
Yeah.
No, they just started the news story this week.
Are they out of the coffee shop yet?
Yeah, they've been for a long time. The last big thing, and it lasted for a long time, was the wedding of Brad and Tony, which is Luann's brother Brad, which was really, really good, but I won't bore you with the details. But in the latest storyline, Bernice, Luann's best friend, is now in charge of the quad at their university. Okay? So she's now in charge. She's really excited about it. However, on her first day, the TV set gets stolen.
Oh. Bum, bum, bum.
Okay, so now the police have been caught in, and they're like, and there's two suspects. It could be Tiffany, Luann's arch nemesis, or Pyro, who is the guy that Bernice is in love with. Who do you think stole the television?
I'm guessing Pyro.
We don't know yet because those are just the suspects. This will go on for a few more weeks.
It was Luann.
So
they need to call the three investigators.
Well, it was Luann's not actually in it. So is it Tiffany? Is it Pyro? Is it just a big misunderstanding? Go.com, gocomics.com for Luann. Check it out.
There you go.
See?
They're still not paying you for that plug, though, right?
All right.
You say that with the same enthusiasm that two ladies talk about their stories.
You know what? If I had to look at all the comics last year that I loved and enjoyed the most, out of everything I read, the number one is Luann. Seriously, it's the one thing I've loved. Every morning I can get up 7 days a week and read Luann, and it's the one thing I enjoy the most.
Yeah, it's because you got a nice steady kick in it. That's why. That's why. That's why these twice a month DC Comics are working.
Craig Evans doesn't even know who I am.
There you go.
Wait, yeah. Sam's phone just went off. Is it a PayPal alert?
All right. So we got. What else is going on? We got 10 minutes, guys.
I do have a trick question for everybody. Yeah. Kickstarter. We've got a little page there on the face on our website, heykidscomics.ca, where we're featuring our favorite Kickstarter, and we haven't done anything there for a bit. Like, is anybody following a Kickstarter?
I am not following one at all.
I know that Williams refired up his
North Shield
Kickstarter, and it looks like it's doing better now. His target was a little bit too high last time, so he's doing that, but. Are we just kind of waiting for a bunch of Kickstarters to kick off?
Or? I was thinking of contacting that young lady we met in Ottawa.
Oh, there you go.
Because she was talking Kickstarters, too, yeah. This year.
That art was fantastic.
It was. It was amazing.
Hopefully, if the writing's as good as the art, that would be a great... I think it's like a fantasy type magic. I'm going to say Elf Quest type book. But really? They're not really elves.
Hmm. I was thinking more Battle Chasers.
Sure.
That kind of popped into my head.
Yeah. You would, Image 90s boy.
Yeah. I never read Battle Chasers, but and I never read Elf's Quest, but I know what Elf's Quest is.
There you go.
I had a cousin when I was a kid who was really into it, but...
That's like Fish Police. Guys your age and my age know the Fish Police, but don't really remember ever...
Yeah.
But it was a cartoon, it was a comic book, independent comic book, it was a comic reprinted by Marvel for 17 or 18 issues, and...
I remember, my cousin was into Elf Quest. But me and her brother, we were reading like Justice League and Titans, right? Yeah. 13 still, Titans, so we didn't touch it.
They're still doing ElfQuest books.
Yeah, I know.
I just got a PDF for
it. It was Wendy and something.
Wendy Pinney.
Pinney and her husband. Yeah. I don't remember his name. Gregory at had an ElfQuest thing up on Facebook this week. I guess there was an ElfQuest CD put out.
Music of ElfQuest.
Yeah, and Gregory put that up on the Things for My Mom's Basement website. I guess he's been listening to it. He found it in his back room.
It's kind of funny because Wendy's like one of the original cosplayers. There's some pictures of her at a early 80s, late 70s comic convention dressed up as Red Sonja. So she's been a fan of the comic genre for a while.
I remember, I think the only books I ever bought by her were, she was doing some Beauty and the Beast books back in the, when I say Beauty and the Beast, I mean like Vincent and Catherine, Ron Perlman and Linda Hamilton. Books back when that
I've
was
never
a big
heard
deal.
Of that, but I have seen a recent TV show, Beauty and the Beast.
I don't know what that is.
I didn't figure you would.
Hermione Granger?
No, it was the girl from Smallville.
No, I'm thinking of the new movie,
Kristen,
Beauty and the Beast.
Kristen Craig or Kristen. Yeah. Yeah. Well, there was also a TV show on CW called Beastly or something like that.
Yeah, he's here.
It's an old story that's been told a few times.
But I remember, I really loved that TV series. I remember the Wendy Pinney, was that her name?
Yeah, P-I-N-I. Oh, yeah.
I still have my copies of those, and they were just beautiful. They were all painted. They were like the painted comics and whatever. And, oh, they were just amazing.
So back to Kickstarters.
Oh, yeah.
Nothing, like, there's Auric 3 coming out soon.
Soon.
For Kickstarter.
Aurora
and
Man 1.
Aurora Man soon. Number 1. Coming out March 22nd. The Kickstarter will start March 22nd.
But any new things, new stuff, anything that we should be drawing our attention to? I almost feel like if somebody has something on Kickstarter, they should go to our Facebook page, Hey Kids Comics.
And draw us into the comic, and then we'll talk about it.
Yeah. Well, even if you don't, draw us in, we'll probably still talk about it.
Yeah.
If it's good enough.
I haven't read... You guys talk for a second while I pull up the name here.
Okay.
Hi, Chris.
Maybe if we could figure out how to get the phone to work, we could have people doing Kickstarters phoning in. And...
The only problem is long distance. Who pays for the long distance bill?
Yeah.
We just won't tell anybody in the lobby who's listening in right now that we're going to run up some long distance
Did you
calls.
Guys read the current issue of Southern Bastards?
What about
yes.
Oh, my
there
God.
We go.
Okay.
Armored Science Kung Fu Cats.
Oh, that's just a horrible knockoff of the adolescent radioactive hamsters.
You had me at
Australia.
Cats. You had me at cats.
Well, you said new Kickstarters. It's a new... I've never heard of this. I saw it. Like, I was literally flipping through Kickstarter a couple months ago, just like going, I want to support something. I want to get a new cool comic book. And it's like, the kids might like that.
Yeah, it looks hilarious. So it looks pretty funny. That just reminded me, like, Chris and I were digging in Guardian in the warehouse, and we came across when Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles started getting a little hot.
Yeah.
Everybody was coming out with their version. So we found radioactive black belt hamsters. Adolescent radioactive black belt hamsters. What was the other one we found?
I'm not trying to remember.
Well, it wasn't like Samurai Pizza Cats kind of a thing.
Yeah, there's like a
yeah, bunch that was like that was like a takeoff on that, wasn't it?
I feel like there was something about kung fu, but anyways.
Was it the hamsters?
No, that was a radioactive adolescent hamster.
Cats don't eat pizza. Just so you know, my cat eats a lot of food, but he will not touch pizzas.
No, my cat used to eat pizza all the time.
I had a cat who used to drink coffee.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
Quickly, I'm drawing Die Kitty Die.
Yeah.
But I've only bought the issues that have come out on the newsstand.
Yeah.
Am I missing stories somewhere? Like
no, it's just the four issues.
Just the four. Okay. Except I think the first issue of Die Kitty Die Hollywood Bus comes out as a PDF next month.
Okay. Only if you're a Kickstarter supporter.
I was a Kickstarter supporter.
Yeah. If you didn't get into the Kickstarter, you're not going to see it.
But it'll come out in print eventually.
It'll come out. Yeah, it's going to come up this summer.
Samurai Pizza Cats.
This summer.
Street Sharks. Biker Mice from Mars.
I was just going to say Biker Mice from Mars. I don't remember anything except for the title.
Wild West Cow. Boys of Moo Mesa.
There you go.
Yeah.
I've never heard that one. These are all cartoons, though. This is based on the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle cartoons. These aren't the comics.
Yeah. On that petering out note, maybe we should play our outro and get out of here.
There you go.
All right.
Maybe we'll have an actual Kickstarter to talk about next week.
That'd be cool.
All right.
You have been listening to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show broadcast through the facilities of Trent Radio on 92.7 CFFF FM in Peterborough, Ontario, and available as a downloadable podcast at www.heykidscomics.ca and at www.firstcomicsnews.com. Promotional consideration for the show was provided by no one. Are you kidding me? We couldn't get advertisers if we tried. Wardrobe for our hosts was provided by Joe Nerds in Whitby, Ontario. They don't know that fact, but that is where we get 90% of our clothes from. No animals were harmed in the making of this radio show. Marty tried, but allergies won't let him get too close to Sam's cats. The views and opinions expressed by Sam are solely his own and do not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the rest of the hosts, as we all like the Walking Dead TV show. The Hey Kids Comics Radio Show is a Quinn Martin production and copyright Hey Kids Comico. Rebroadcasting in part or in whole of this show is forbidden, but really, who would want to anyway?